You know, last week we began to talk about how to receive the good and perfect gift of grace, how to receive God's good and perfect gift of grace. So this is going to be the part two. Now, what is the scripture that gives us this, the foundation for what we're sharing today? Of course, if you read James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9, is that scripture. Do you know what it says? In verse 8, it says, Ephesians in chapter 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. So we see right there, grace is the gift from God, the gift of God. We don't work for it. We can't say we did something to earn the grace of God. No. So that's why we're looking at how to receive this good and perfect gift of grace. So we began to look at a couple, and that couple is like a metaphor. That couple is like the type and shadow of this God's good gift and perfect gift we're talking about. God's good and perfect gift. Now, this couple in the Bible, we see them in Luke chapter 1. They are called Zechariah and Elizabeth. Now, in the first chapter of Luke and verse 13, the Bible says, the angel said to Zechariah, don't be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Now, John was given as a gift to Zechariah and Elizabeth that were very old. Elizabeth, the wife, was barren. Zechariah was very old. And now both of them were very old. The Bible said they were well stricken in years. They had gone beyond both menopause, menostop, menorewind, menofastforward. There was nothing, you know, to add salt upon injury. The Bible said they had no child for many, many, many years because Elizabeth was barren. And God decides in their barrenness, in their old age, to give them a gift of a son, which was virtually impossible, medically impossible, physically impossible, in any way, in every way. So God decides to show up. And God gives them a son, and he said, call his name John. John literally means God is gracious. It means Jehovah, the grace giver, the giver of grace. So John was the type and shadow. John was the metaphor of what God was trying to say to the entire world. That the gift of grace, my grace, when God decides to release his grace, he bypasses every other logic, because this couple, there was nothing they could do to work now to earn that gift called John. So we began to look at that from last week, and then we learned that the Bible declares in John chapter 1, I'm just doing a quick recap, about Jesus, who is also the good and perfect gift now. The Bible says, look in John chapter 1, verse 12 to 14. We may not look at that, but verse 14 says that the Word became flesh. That's Jesus, the Word, and dwelt amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. And verse 16 and 17 of that same John chapter 1 tells us that from his fullness we've all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus. So we began to look. Recap. What's the first thing? How to receive God's gift of grace, good and perfect gift of grace. Last week we said, number one, know that this, the good and perfect gift from God, the good and perfect gift is from God above, and it is a perfect gift. So we saw what good meant. We saw the meaning of perfect. You can't add to something that is perfect. So the good and perfect gift of grace is always very good. Number two, how to receive God's good and perfect gift of grace. We learned last week that God's good and perfect gift of grace is available to everyone. It's for everyone, no partiality. Titus chapter 2 tells us the remarkable, undeserved grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. All men. So God's good and perfect gift of grace is available for everyone, no partiality. Everyone can receive it. Number three, last week we learned that you can receive God's good and perfect gift of grace through Jesus Christ. It's only through Jesus Christ, as we saw in that John chapter 1, verse 12, that we read before, that from his grace, verse 16, John chapter 1, for from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. It's a gift that keeps on giving. It's a gift that is always available. From grace unto grace, faith unto faith. And then number four, we learned last week that number four, how to receive God's good and perfect gift of grace. We learned that we should not walk for God or work for God. We saw the difference between walking or working for God, but that we should learn to walk before God and walk with God. We saw the example of that same couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth. In the same Luke chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible said they walk with God. They walked in all the commandments, all the statutes of God. In Abraham, the life of Abraham, we see that in Genesis 17, verse 1. God said, Abraham, walk before me and be perfect. You walk before me. I'm Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. That's the way one version puts it. The King James says, be perfect. And sincerely speaking, when that word perfect is just walk before me, don't walk for me, walk with me. Perfect means walk sincerely, walk with integrity, walk blameless. You know, do everything in my presence. I want to see you in front. Right in my presence, do everything you want to do. That's what it means to walk with God or walk before God. Don't walk or work for God like we're doing God a favor, like we're kind of ahead of him, and he's not there, we're just going there to represent him. No, that's not how to receive God's gift of grace. The gift of grace of God comes as we learn to walk before God and walk with him. And of course, we saw Noah, the Bible says he found grace in the eyes of God, Genesis 6. He found grace. Why? The Bible tells us Noah walked with God. And Solomon, God gave him a simple commandment. You walk with me. Walk with me the same way your father David walked with me, and I will establish your throne. So that was number four. Don't walk or work for God, but walk before God and walk with God. And number five, how to receive God's good and perfect gift of grace. That was where we stopped last week. And this, I tell you something, is where we will build on today. What was number five? Don't doubt God. And whenever or if you do, always be sincere with your doubts so that God can help you shut out every doubt. Let me repeat that. Don't doubt God. And whenever and if you do, always be sincere with your doubts so that God can help you shut out every doubt. You may be on this broadcast and listen, you don't even believe in the existence of God. And I can tell you, if you are very sincere from your heart, that honestly, God, I do not know you. I've heard about you, but I don't know you. And I have doubts if you really exist. Listen, if you are very, very sincere, like I was some years ago, I just simply said, God, if you are real, I'm telling you, every time I share this prayer, something always comes upon me. I just remember 1986, when I said, God, if you are real, I want you to reveal yourself to me. I doubted if there was God. I'd heard, I'd been told there was God. I've been, to church, several, but I just stopped completely because it was meaningless. commonsensically, how can there be God and I can't see him, I can't feel him, nothing, let me just live my life. But then I said, God, if you're real, I want you to reveal yourself to me. So if you have any doubts, whenever you do, and if you do, just be sincere. And God himself will show up. You know what happened to Zechariah? Even after angel came in Luke chapter 1 and told him that you're going to receive a gift of grace, the gift of John, he doubted the angel. He doubted that message. And he was very sincere with his doubt. And you know what God did? God made sure that he helped him to shut his doubts. How? He said, because you didn't believe. If we look at verse 19 and 20, he said, you're going to be mute. You know, you're not going to be able to talk again. He says in verse 20, Luke chapter 1, verse 20, but behold, you'll be mute. You'll not be able to speak until the day these things will take place because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Note that, in their own time. Because we're going to say something about that today. So even if you don't believe, be sincere with your doubts, okay? And God will help you shut your doubts. We saw another example, father of the possessed child. He said, Lord, I believe. Lord, help my unbelief. Jesus came through for him. Mary, and all she did was, how do I know these things will be? The angel came and said, Mary, you're a virgin. You're going to have a baby without a man. So how will these things be? She doubted it too, but she asked a question. And it simply said, and the angel explained to her how it will be. That's what happens when we tell God our sincere doubts. God will come through and strengthen our doubts. Sorry, shut out our doubts and strengthen our faith. I tell you, when you learn to be real with God, God will begin to be real to you. I tell you, that is something I can sum up as my own walk with God. When I doubt him, I say, I doubt you, Lord. I don't believe this. I'm having doubts. I'm having fears. And I'm sincere. And I tell you, an assurance will just come. An assurance will just come. So that's where we stopped. So number six today. Let's go to number six. How to receive God's good and perfect gift of grace. Part number two. All right. So what is number six? Don't be afraid. God hears every prayer you make. He will only answer in his perfect timing. Let me repeat that. Don't be afraid. God hears every prayer you make. He will only answer in his perfect timing. Now, let me explain something there. When you look at that Luke chapter 1, the angel comes to Zechariah and tells Zechariah, don't be afraid. The angel, same angel, goes to Mary in that same Luke chapter 1. Mary, don't be afraid. That's the first thing, because I'm about to release grace to you. I'm about to tell you what God wants to do. So the first thing is, that number six today, don't be afraid, because God hears every prayer you make. He will only answer in his perfect timing. Now, let me explain what that means. That God will only answer you in his perfect timing. Because that's one thing that helps us to recognize the grace of God. Remember, it's the grace of God, not our own grace. So it's still God's prerogative. Now, when you look at that scripture, when the angel comes to Zechariah in verse 13, Luke chapter 1, verse 13, the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Wait a minute. Zechariah was very old at this time. Elizabeth was barren. They had gone beyond the age of childbearing. There was no way on this earth medically that they would ever have a child. Remember, that's what grace is. When God gives that free gift, it is available to everyone. So he now says, don't be afraid. Your prayer is heard. Now, the question I want to ask us is this. You know, when I began to ponder on this statement, when do you think Zechariah and Elizabeth probably started praying to have children? I just want you to pause to think. I can almost bet you that maybe they married the first year, second year, third year. It gets to a point where, you know, wait a minute, we don't have a child. We've been married for many years. They will probably have been praying for many, 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 many years. I want us to bring it to our own time. You're married, first year, second year, maybe you say, you know, like couples do these days, and I always advise against it, don't do it. It's God that gives children. Maybe one day I will share with us some of these insights from the Bible when it's got to do with the issues with fertility, barrenness, delay in childbirth, and all that. See, one of the things that causes delay in childbirth are things that we as human beings also do physically. For example, you go to the hospital and you tell the doctors, do something in my body so that we don't want children for the next 2 years. So you've tampered with the natural course of events that can bring a delay in childbirth. You know, so, but I'm not going into that today. What I'm just saying is that they've been praying for years and years and years and years until they got told, medically speaking, sorry, we've checked all your fallopian tubes, we've checked your ovaries, we've checked your womb, we've checked, you know, the man. We can see, you know, maybe there's a low whatever count, you know. I know children are there and then they start asking questions, but you will understand, children, don't worry. So they've done all the medical stuff and they've been told they can't have children. They can't have children. You know, thank you, Caleb. You said both must have started praying for children since the inception of their marriage. Yeah, you know, probably. But they got to a point where they were told it's now completely impossible. So they've been praying, but God didn't answer. God did not answer until they both passed, Elizabeth passed menopause. And, you know, it just gets to a point where, you know what, well, let's just keep doing what we do. We're old now. Let's wait for the sweet by and by. We'll pass away. Maybe it's not God's portion for us to have children. They probably at this stage will have concluded how we can infer from the scriptures. Because even when the angel came, Zechariah did not believe. How can this be? It's not possible. He didn't believe and he even queried that. It's not. How is this possible that I will have a child? You know, the angel said everything. The angel even told him the future of the child. In verse 18 of Luke chapter 1, verse 18, Zechariah said to him, how? I'm an old man. My wife is well advanced in years. Well advanced in years. I don't know if the technical team can give us, well, maybe it might be a bit tough, but the Amplified, let me read the Amplified version to us. Because you see, until we begin to see the reality of some of these things, we may not really grasp it. You know, let the word of God come alive. In the Amplified version, Zechariah said to the angel, by what shall I know and be sure of this? For I am an old man. I am well, my wife is well advanced in years. In other words, look, you know, like they say where I come from in West Africa, Nigeria, pardon my English, it's called broken English pidgin. Angel, if na joke, make it stop am, I beg, stop am. What it means is that angel, you know, stop joking, don't stop pulling my legs. If this is a joke, please stop it. Stop it. How is it possible? And then God shot his doubts. Now, what I want to highlight from number 6 is this. Don't be afraid. God hears every prayer you make, but he will only answer in his perfect timing. Hearing our prayers is different from answering our prayers. They are two different things. When you pray, when I pray, God hears. The Bible tells us the God of all flesh, who hears. He hears and he answers prayers. So the angel said, your prayer has been heard. When did they pray? I can bet you at this time they have stopped praying for children because they feel, well, there's no point anymore. But the angel said, God has heard your prayer. So the prayer they must have prayed long ago, but God didn't answer. So God heard the prayer. Look at what the angel said. For your prayer is heard. But it wasn't answered for many, many years. Why? Because God has the prerogative when he answers prayers. So don't think God has not heard your prayers, because that's one thing that dampens people's faith. Oh, God does not hear my prayers. No, God has heard. Let me tell you, he will answer in his own beautiful timing. Luke chapter 1, verse 13, when did God answer that prayer? The gift of a son to Zechariah and Elizabeth after many years. Let somebody be encouraged. You have prayed about some things. Don't ever say God didn't hear you. Do you know why I know God heard you? Because the Bible tells me that even our thoughts, even the intents of our hearts, God hears, God knows, God sees. Talk less of the prayer you uttered. So God has heard you. Let me say this by the Spirit to somebody. God has heard your prayers, and he will answer you in his own beautiful timing. Listen, don't give up. It's the gift of grace. There is a good and a perfect gift from above that's coming to you. Look at John chapter 11, verse 6-7, the story of Lazarus. They told Jesus that Lazarus was sick. Jesus heard it, but Jesus didn't answer. The Bible said, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, Jesus stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said, let us go to Judea again. Listen, do you even know what happened? If you read that scripture, you will see clearly that even Jesus, though he heard that Lazarus was sick, he didn't even answer, and Lazarus died. Lazarus died. By the time Jesus will answer, because Jesus is just the word of God made flesh. Jesus said, I don't do anything except what my Father tells me to do, what I see my Heavenly Father do. So he heard the prayers, the request, because Jesus at this time, remember, was going about healing the sick, cleansing lepers, raising, opening deaf ears, blind eyes. So what will sickness be to him? He didn't answer, even though he heard. Listen, God has heard you. That he has not answered you, you wait, because the grace of God is about to be released to you in God's perfect timing for his glory. Jesus, in that John chapter 11, he waited, and 4 days after, he answered. But it was too late, physically speaking. Listen, the healing of Lazarus did not take place the day God heard that Lazarus was sick. The healing of Lazarus didn't take place when even God heard, because Jesus confirmed before he went that Lazarus is dead. When was the prayer answered? In God's own beautiful timing for his glory. When did God answer the prayer of Elizabeth and Zechariah? In a beautiful time for his glory, at a time when many heard that the grace of God, John, was born, and it was going to bring reconciliation of fathers to their children, of people turned back to God. Listen, your prayer will be answered in a way that God will take all the glory, and in a way that even you will know beyond every shadow of doubt that God indeed is gracious and is gracious unto you. So listen, God has heard you. Wait, he will answer you in his beautiful timing. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, from verse 1 to 11. But if you go down to verse 11, the Bible tells us from verse 1, there's a time for everything under heaven. Time to everything, there's a season, a time for every, look at it, purpose. God has a purpose for not answering you yet. God has a purpose. He's heard your prayer, but for his purpose, he will manifest the answer to your prayers. And he will answer you in a grand way, in a way that, come on, everybody will know this is God. Have we not seen Adaize? Have we not seen the beautiful gift? And God did it in his own timing. Listen, if anything at all, God bless the Aras, the Adebola family for that short video. It is so deep. There's a lot loaded in there. Listen, in a way that God will take all the glory. Adaize came 9 years after. Listen, you are still waiting for the manifestation. You have been praying. Look, let this word assure you, God heard you. For his purpose, that timing, in verse 11, the Bible says, God has made everything beautiful in its time. He's also put eternity in the hearts of people, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. You see, God knows the end from the beginning. So he knows the perfect timing to manifest that answer to what you pray for. So number 6, don't be afraid. God hears every prayer you made. He will only answer in his perfect timing. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go now to number 7. This is deep, people. Number seven, make an oath. Make a covenant. You just make a promise with God or to God to keep worshiping him, whether he answers your prayers or not, whether he gives you that gift or not. Let me repeat that. Having known that God knows the end from the beginning, and there's a purpose for his timing, there's a timing for his purpose. Oh my goodness. Make an oath today. God, whether you answer my prayer or not, I will keep worshiping you. I will keep standing because I know you heard me and you will answer me in your own beautiful timing. You make an oath, make a covenant, promise God that, look, I will keep worshiping you, whether you answer me yet or not. Zechariah and Elizabeth, the Bible said they were both, Zechariah was a priest. He continued serving even when he knew all hope was lost. Elizabeth means the oath of God. Their names are a powerful message to us. Zechariah means God remembers. Elizabeth means the oath of God. Listen, you make an oath with God, covenant with God, like Zechariah, God will remember you. You continue to walk with him, whether he gives you a gift or not. Do you know what Job said in Job chapter 13, verse 15? When Job lost everything, he lost his properties, he lost his business, he lost his children. The only thing left was a broken, battered body. Even Mrs. Job, what didn't help matters. Mrs. Job told him, curse God and die. His friends came. Miserable comforters. Miserable in his misery. They kept on blaming him. They kept on giving reasons why God, he was going through what he was going through. You know, let me tell somebody, you're experiencing delays or you're going through some challenges, and you have people all around you trying to tell you why this is happening, why you don't have a child yet, why this is happening, or you are serving God, something's wrong with you, something's wrong with your ancestors, something's not, there's a witch in your village, it's your pastor that has problems. You know, listen, it's high time we all wake up and know that our faith is a personal walk with God. Stop holding anybody else responsible for your own faith. your faith. The Bible says the just shall live by his own faith, by his own faith. Job held on to God. Job had to get rid of all these miserable people trying to give him reasons why things were going on in his life. He made this awesome statement in Job chapter 13, verse 15. Though God slays me, though God kills me, yet will I trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. That is somebody who has made a covenant, a promise with God. No matter what, I will yet trust you. The Bible tells us in the book of, let me get the book now. It says that even though the fig tree does not blossom, even though there's no tree, there's no fruit in the vine, it says, yet will I praise you. That is what we're talking about. That is exactly what we're talking about. Let me try and get that scripture, because this scripture is not part of the scriptures to display, but I just really, really believe we should learn something from there. It says that though the fig tree does not blossom, though there's no fruit in the vine, yet will I praise him. Let me just get it for us, because that scripture is very important. Very, very important. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3 and verse 17. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 17. It says, though the fig tree may not blossom, I'm reading from the New King James Version, nor fruit on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food. It says, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Look at the next verse, verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Verse 19, the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like the deer's feet. He will make me to walk upon my high walls. Listen, that is what we're talking about. Make an oath, make a covenant, make a promise. God, I am not going to stop worshiping you, whether you give me this gift, whether you answer my prayers or not, because now I have understanding that you've heard my prayers and you will answer me in your own beautiful timing. What does the Bible say? The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 37 to 39, that some people in the hallmark of faith, they trusted, they believed God, even though the promises they didn't even see. The Bible says in verse 37, 11, Hebrews chapter 11, they were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. These are people who are trusting God by faith. Look at verse 38. Look at verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and mountains, in the dens and caves of the earth. And then look at verse 39. The Bible now tells us, and all this, having obtained a good testimony through faith, they didn't even see the manifestation of the promises, but they held on to God. Why? Because they knew, please show that verse 40, that there was something even better. Glory be to God. Better than this earth can even offer. That is what we're talking about. Make an oath. Promise. Make a covenant. I will continue to praise you. And that's why, let me say this. I know two wonderful families in Love Assembly. I'm telling you, when I look at them and I look at their faith and I look at their steadfastness, I just know this is the glory, the grace of God upon them. And I want to publicly celebrate the Bamishiles and the Kalus. The good Lord will honor you for his glory in the name of Jesus. Let's go to number eight. Number eight, how to receive God's good gift and perfect gift of grace. Verse eight, number eight, receive, believe, and do what is possible after you hear the word of God. Can I repeat that? Receive, believe, do what is possible after you hear the word of God. You know, last week we established something. You cannot really believe what you have not received. If I have a gift, the best gift in the world for you, and I'm telling you this gift will do you good, will do this, will do that, you can still doubt me. But when you receive that gift and you put it to use, then you start believing. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. You receive and believed him. John chapter 1, verse 12. As many as received and believed him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. So you receive, believe, and do what is possible. So when you hear the word of God, receive it, believe it, and do. The Bible tells us that faith without works is dead. James chapter 2, verse 20. Just like the body without the spirit is dead, so is faith without works. Verse 20 says, but do you want to know, foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Verse 26, just like the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works. So do something after you hear the word of God. So you've heard the word of God today. You must do something about this word you've heard. Now, what do you do? You ask, do what is possible. Let me give you two examples. When you look at that story in Luke chapter 1, after the angel spoke to Zechariah and he didn't believe, and God helped him to shut his sincere doubts, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 1, verse 23 and 24, that Zechariah, he went home to Elizabeth. He went home to Elizabeth. Do you know what? And it was after he went home that Elizabeth got pregnant. Zechariah did what was possible, and God did the impossible. He heard the word and he went home. Luke chapter 1 and verse 23, the Bible says, so it was, as soon as his days of service were completed, he departed to his own house. He did what was possible. Who was at home? Mama Ellie, Mama Lizzie, Mama Betty was at home. That guy had seen an angel in the temple. The angel said, your wife is going to have a baby. He didn't believe. God shut his doubts. He went home. I tell you something. Something happened that night. How do I know? Because afterwards, Mama Betty, Mama Elise became pregnant. If it was an immaculate conception like Mary, the Bible will be clear that that is what happened. He went home after he heard the word of God. So do that which is possible, and God will do the impossible. Because the Bible is clear. After he went home was when Elizabeth got pregnant. Imagine he didn't go home. Imagine he stayed in that temple for another 1 year and saying, God, I believe. God, yes, you are good. Lord, I worship you. Lord, I bless your name. Come on. Come on. Your time in the temple has expired. You were meant to encounter the angel, go and do what you heard. Some of us are still praying when we should be taking action. You know, like I shared a while ago, some of us, rather than training our children, spending time with them, we're praying. Look, there's the time to pray for your children, but excuse me, sit down, spend time with them. Train your children in the way they should go. Train means you're in front, they can see you. You train them, spend time, live by example. Stop praying, act after you pray. After you hear the word of God, please go and take action. What happened to Mary? The same Luke chapter 1, verse 39 to verse 45. After the angel spoke to Mary, the Bible said, Mary, because the angel told Mary, your cousin Elizabeth, who is very old, who is impossible to have a child, is pregnant. She's pregnant. Okay? That will be a confirmation to let you know what God has said. Do you know what happened? Let's look at the scripture step by step. Let's quickly look at the scripture step by step. Luke chapter 1. From verse 39, the Bible tells us, okay, now Mary arose in those days, and she went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah. In Luke chapter 1, verse 39. Verse 40, she now entered into the house of Zechariah, and she greeted Elizabeth. My goodness. Look at what happened in verse 40. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby in her womb leaped. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you now know what happened? Elizabeth, by the same Holy Spirit that the angel explained, listen to this, because at times the Bible gives us clues. We only need to see. You know, when Mary encountered the angel, when she asked the angel, how will I have a child? I don't know any man without a sexual relationship with man. He said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and then you will conceive a child. Now look at the transference here. Look at this. She heard that she was told her cousin Elizabeth was pregnant. She ran, just as the angel said, to go confirm. When she gets to Elizabeth, the Bible says Elizabeth, when she heard, Elizabeth didn't know anything. She only heard. She saw Mary. Mary took action to go and confirm with Elizabeth. And when she got there, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in verse 42 with a loud voice and began to impart Mary. What did she say to Mary? Verse 42, blessed are you among women. And look at it now. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Look at this. And then verse 43, just hear Mary. Hear Mary in verse 44. For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she. Who was she saying this to? To Mary. Who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told to her from the Lord. That point was the transference of the power of the Holy Ghost upon Mary. Receive, number 8, believe and do what is possible after you hear the word of God. Somebody's going to take action after this. Now, let me quickly share number 9 and 10, and I'm done. How to receive God's good and perfect gift of grace. Oh, somebody's really excited now. Oh, please pray, pray. Lord, show me what I need to do. God has already told you what to do. Just do the impossible. 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 Just do the impossible. When you had that encounter, what were you told? Just take action. Think. You've got a brain. Listen, you've got a sanctified brain. Take action. I'm not saying help God. No, just do what you've been told. Number 9, make an oath. Okay, sorry, we should go to number 9. Number 9 should be, let me just repeat that. That should be number 8. Pardon me for the slide. That's number 7, okay? So number 9 is number 7. Let me just explain the Syrophoenician woman. Do you know she came to Jesus and Jesus said, I can't answer you? Jesus said, you're not qualified. I'm not going to give you anything. But what did she say? She said, yes. She worshiped Jesus, even though Jesus didn't answer her request. She worshiped Jesus until Jesus answered her request. That's the point I want to make there. So finally, number 9, not number 10. So let's go to number 10, but it's 9. Thank you. On the slide, pardon my typo. Keep believing God. Number 10. So number 10 should be number 9. So the slide is mixed up, but pardon me, because it's 9 things we're sharing, not 10. Keep believing God. Believing every word of God. Mary said in Luke 1:38, be it unto me according to your word. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Mankind. It says that he might know that. So God humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna. You see, Deuteronomy chapter 8, I think it's verse. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that man shall not live by bread alone. Man, verse 3, that you might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So keep believing God. Believe every word of God. Don't mix and choose. Don't choose and mix. Every word of God. That's what Mary believed. Be it unto me according to your word. Matthew 4:4, Jesus echoed it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Isaiah 55, 6 to 11, especially verse 10 and 11. He says, my word that comes out of my mouth will not return void, but will accomplish what I please, prosper where I sent it. Every word of God will be fulfilled. Just believe it. Only believe, Jesus will say, and you will see the glory of God. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, and Numbers 23, verse 19, you know, I hear this statement a lot. It's becoming a mantra, but we need to be careful. Why I say we need to be careful? Because we can take some things at times to the extreme. I hear people saying what God cannot do does not exist. I know one thing that exists. It's called lies. God cannot lie. So what God cannot do does not exist. There's something that exists that God cannot do, is to lie. Hebrews 6, 18, by two immutable things, which it is impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Numbers 23, verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it? Will he not do it? Has he spoken? Will he not make it good? Listen, there's something God cannot do that exists. God cannot lie. So next time you say what God cannot do does not exist, say lie may exist, but God cannot lie. Add that to balance that scripture before we go into some extremes, because lies exist. I tell you, there's a lying devil out there. There are lying friends. There are lying doctors. There are lying reports. There are lying all sorts of things. Are you getting me? They exist in this world we live in. But God cannot lie. He cannot lie. So hold on to that. And then Romans 10, verse 17, we end with that. You've got to be very intentional, because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. So number 9, not number 10. So just correct that. Keep believing God. Keep believing every word of God. Once God has said it, take it as God has said it. If in doubt, ask. If in doubt, have a conversation with God. If in doubt, pray. Pray. Can I ask us to pray right now? Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. If in doubt, ask. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
If in doubt, have a conversation.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
If in doubt,
thank you, pray. Holy Spirit. Thank you, Spirit of the living God. Thank you. Thank you. Can we begin to pray right now? Just pray. Take some time right now. Let us just spend 3 minutes. 3 minutes, okay? Go before the Lord right now. Go before the Lord. Is it doubts you're having? Sincerely, put your doubts before him right now. Sincerely, sincerely, sincerely. I'll give us 3 minutes, 3 minutes, 3 minutes. Let us talk to God. Let us pray. Let us pray. Yes, spend that time right now. Spend that time right now. Be very intentional. Thank you, Lord. Confident that everything you have said, you will confirm with signs following, all for your glory. And Lord, I agree with everyone praying right now. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering. Thank you. For there is nothing that confronts us you've not given us the ability to bear. Thank you for rekindling our faith. And Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you for introducing Jesus to that person right now, bringing the reality of God to everyone doubting. Lord, the testimonies, I return all the glory to you as you confirm with miracles, signs, even from today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.